Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, Sport of Time, episode 359. No preamble today. None. It's not happening. We are going to get right down to business. John, I asked you to do some homework, some prep work. I am curious if you can give us a list. I'm sure you've put so much time into it, considering I texted you 25 minutes ago. A list of most hopeless local franchises. I think we're going to go, is it most hopeless to least hopeless? Is that the order you were planning to go in?
We can definitely go that way. Okay. I think that'll put the Timberwolves last, which I think is going to be good for everybody else.
Might be good
on the podcast.
Last,
Stu and Chicken are here. Preambles aside, we should note that Stu and Chicken are both here.
God, we should.
We're all here.
I assume that that's the how it always is, and it's not at all.
No,
this is incredible.
It's there's so many people in this Zoom window right now. I'm distracted.
We're at capacity.
And half of us are dressed up for work and stuff, so that's throwing me off even more.
Uh-huh.
It's very professional today. I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
that's right.
The helpful thing is that I did this like a month ago. So I'm gonna just sort of use it as the basis, and we're gonna go from there. I think it may have changed a little bit in the intervening weeks here, but we might as well start with the Minnesota Wild, who a month ago were the most forlorn franchise in town, I thought, and since then they fired their coach, but they're playing better. They've won 6 out of 8 or something like that, but at the same time, they're running out of people in the front office because they keep getting fired.
So are they back in the hunt, John?
Well, everybody's. I don't even know where they are in the standings. I'm not totally sure, but it was early enough in the season that they weren't completely out of it yet. And I think they were always better than their record was. I mean, at one point they were 5-14 or something like that for the year. And what mostly has happened, not entirely, but mostly has happened since they got a new coach, is that their goaltenders have started playing better. Like Phil Gustavson was really good last year and then was really terrible to start the year, and now has been pretty good again since the coach got fired. So
it's all out of spite? You think he's a spite tender?
Just goaltender spite. Or, you know, the probably true thing is that goaltenders are crazy people, and who the heck knows? Like, one day, Evason forgot to text Philip Gustavson on his birthday, and he's just held a grudge since then or something like that. That's just goalies for you. But I was at the game last night. It was They played okay. They weren't great. Both of their best two defensemen are hurt, but they pulled out a win anyway, which, you know, it's a little bit like the Wolves winning without Jaden McDaniels and Ant. Like, that's a good win no matter who they're playing.
Right, right. I just looked it up, by the way, 28% playoff probability.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty far down, but they're not in a great division either, and one of the teams ahead of them is Nashville, which can't keep being good for the rest of this year, so we'll see.
Friends.
John, if you were at the game last night, were you verbally assaulted by any front office
Many times.
Members,
how much many abuse did you yes. suffer?
I figured.
I just want to say to our good friend and longtime listener, Matt, we won't ask you any questions. Just blink twice if you're okay.
We're here if you need us.
Yes.
We can get
you out.
But why would anyone yell at Matt for anything?
I don't
for
know.
Any
it would be so weird. So weird. So
why are you yelling at him? Yelling at a Saint Bernard. Don't yell. Why? Oh, do anything wrong?
Even Bill Guerin would be like, whoa, 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 let's back off.
Let's all just relax here.
Maybe the other guy said something not quite that nice to our friend Matt, and Bill Guerin abused that guy on behalf of our friend Matt. It's the only thing that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense to me, actually.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for those who have not been following the Wild story, this week they fired their assistant GM, who was like their cap guy and negotiated a lot of their entry-level contracts and that stuff. They mutually agreed to part ways. I'm making finger quotes. People can't see me except for the people on this podcast, but they mutually agreed to part ways. But it seems clear from Michael Russo's reporting that there was an investigation, and at the end of which this guy got fired. We don't know what he did. It could be any number of things, and it's worthless to speculate, but they certainly didn't want to fire this guy. And at going into it, I don't think he knew that he was going to get fired. So who knows what that guy did. But then as they were doing that, there was another investigation going on of Bill Guerin, who apparently verbally assaulted the team's director of operations. And I said this in a text to you guys last night, but we're talking about a guy who's been around a pro hockey team for 10 years. And what you would have to say to that guy to get him to go to HR is absolutely, it had to have been the filthiest thing ever said out loud in the English language.
It's got to be some super cool new verbal abuse that we hadn't even heard of before. Like, it hadn't been invented. Like, it's got to be a new form of abuse.
Bill Guerin is definitely,
he's heard.
Mm-hmm. He's pushing the boundaries of what is possible in the verbal profanity space, in the verbal abuse space, for sure. Because I cannot imagine what was said, or maybe finally that guy just had enough and was like, listen, I work here. I don't have to take this.
Just repeated, just continued. I mean, I'm a dumbass in marketing, and even I cannot fathom ever having somebody say something to me so bad that I go, I mean, it's fine that he did. Good job, bud. That's good. But I don't understand what possibly could have been the subject matter. Because I don't think it was like
Brian Bellows. Threats. Maybe it was Brian Bellows was the subject matter. He was being a real superstar, and things progressed from there. Sorry. That's all I can think of is like Shorzy and the Brian Bellows clip. That's all I can think about with this. It's like, what's worse than that? And it's really hard to come up with anything, like John said.
Yeah, because it wasn't threats, right? If it's like if it's a personal threat, that's different than like a abuse, maybe. Like, I don't know. Or you just get sick of it after. Maybe he's like been doing it for 10 years, and you're just like, okay, I finally have had enough, and I've told you to.
And also, it's worth pointing out here that the team cleared Guerin of the complaint, correct?
Well, he's not getting fired.
Yeah,
it didn't rise to a fireable offense, to use the language of the report.
So if they were just going to use regular language, it'd be, we have decided it was actually not that bad. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
I didn't get the sense, maybe I'm reading the report wrong, but I didn't get the sense that he didn't do anything, that this was an entirely baseless accusation. I think it seemed to be more like, you shouldn't do that. We're not going to fire you, you shouldn't do that. That's not how good people should behave.
Do you think that we're ever going to find out what he said?
I've been checking at some point, because here's the thing. The weirdest thing about O'Hearn getting fired, Chris O'Hearn, who was the assistant GM, the weirdest thing was Guerin wasn't on the last road trip. And as it turned out, it was all because of this investigation. He wasn't on this last road trip. He wasn't answering texts when usually he's very accessible. He was supposed to be at some team event. He wasn't at the team event. It was like a public event with fans, and he had his wife was there making excuses, and they sent a couple of players in his place and stuff like that. It was weird how off the map he was, which is why they fired the assistant GM and there was no information about it. And it's been even weirder because Guerin hasn't talked yet. At some point, Guerin's going to have to talk.
Well, and also right the now, other guy, the accuser, is still on the team. So they have to work together still, correct?
It's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Super weird.
Yeah, that's going to be really fucking awkward.
You would think so.
And that's why, Chicken said, that it'll probably come out just because, I mean.
Well, now Bill Guerin knows, like.
There's the internet. There'll be something that'll come out.
But now Bill Guerin knows exactly what he can say in it, not get fired. So now there's, we're just kind of like, well, I know exactly what there. If I don't go beyond this, I think I'm golden. I called you a tit fucker every day for 5 years. I know for a fact I can continue calling you that.
This right here, this line of reasoning is why Brandon keeps getting thrown out of children's sports events.
We established.
So
in the third inning, I called you a poltroon and you didn't do anything.
There's a precedent
now.
You're
in the fifth inning, all of a sudden it's a problem.
Oh, now it's bad.
So this director of operations guy has been around for a while, and I was sitting here trying to think, is there something that's happened to the Wild that would be director of operations related lately that was public? So meaning, like, if you're John would recall this, I'm guessing the others won't, Brandon, Stu, you won't, but do you remember, I think it was in Montreal when the Wild's equipment all caught on fire?
Yes they had all their trucking and equipment, and there's a torch that they used to do something with. It's melting tape on sticks.
Well, I was back in the
like
day
that.
My guess is the torch was related to the curve on your stick. And yeah, like attachment. You used to melt the glue on your blade so it attached to like the aluminum shaft.
Yeah, that's right.
So they had this equipment truck, and somebody threw the hot torch into the back, and they got part of the way where they were going, and I think they pulled over, they got to the rink, and they opened the back, and all of the equipment was on fire.
I'm not saying that's the direct Andrew Heights responsibility, but like, the next couple days after that happened, if he had been fired, he'd be like,
yeah,
all right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's understandable.
So you think he's just been motherfucking him in the office for weeks afterwards? Like, oh, look, it's the dumbest motherfucker who ever lived again. Walking in. You're still here, huh?
The only other one was Kaprizov. Remember when like he couldn't get back into America?
Right, like, he tried to go to Dubai and they wouldn't let him out of Dubai to get to America.
Shipped, and everybody's like, what? Why can't just get him back? Like, what the fuck is going on? Get him back here. And he couldn't, like that. And then if this guy had been fired like 2 days after that, then again, I'm not saying it would be right, but at least people would go, ah, okay, there, that's the wrong. Sure. Now they just got back from, where were they?
Sweden,
but whatever. I don't give a shit. Europe.
One of them countries.
One of those countries up north.
Overseas.
Exactly.
Hanging out with Johnny Foreigner.
Did we hear anything about there? Like, did they leave? Like, Matt, like if they had left Matt Boldy, like fucking Home Alone, like left him back and okay, yeah. Whoopsie, we forgot. Oh, Boldy. Oh,
no,
we forgot. Oh, okay. Andrew Hank gets fired. I get it, but I didn't hear about anything over there like remarkable. Maybe it was something that happened over there, and like, Russo just hasn't said yet because it was part of an investigation. So that's why
maybe Russo was involved.
Well, Russo wasn't on the trip, but well, maybe he was. I don't know.
But does Guerin not have firing rights of this guy? Is that what we're saying? And so he was just so like, I can't get rid of this guy, but he is a moron and I will let him know it every single day. And after a while,
when things aren't understandable, there's obviously a giant puzzle piece missing. That's something we all know. So there's obviously a big piece of information we don't know. But what could
I will say this, when it came out that Bill Guerin was verbally abusing people who worked for him, at no point was I like, oh man, that doesn't seem like
no, that adds up. But,
not my Bill. Not my Bill. No.
It's like when we have an explicit note on iTunes. It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
That tracks.
Well, if the assistant GM hadn't been fired, this would simply be he yelled at a guy and he took it too far and there was an investigation, but he didn't get fired. But the assistant GM got fired in the meantime by Bill Guerin. So I don't know. It's like a whole game of Clue.
The guy who runs your cap, your salary cap, is a very important
Rob
job.
Rob Brzezinski, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't just have someone who can walk in and do that either.
No,
that's an important gig.
For the team. Maybe in all of professional sports that's most impacted currently by the cap. Name another team in all four of the major professional sports.
No,
more impacted.
It's the Wild.
There literally have been days this year that the Wild have been like, no lie, like $5 under the cap.
That's they had the the puppies, they had to like put the puppies on LTIR. Couldn't afford them. Cap room. They had to like put the puppies out on fucking Kellogg Avenue. You couldn't even be in the stadium. Couldn't afford them. Get under the cap. Had to go. Puppies are out behind Cassettas eating fucking dumpster crusts, pizza crust. Then they fired Chris Horn. That's not true. I made that part up about the puppies. I want PETA. Okay.
Yeah. Again, coming at us.
Last thing I need again.
So that's the Wild, the most hopeless.
Well, they're just.
But they played better. That's the whole thing. The on ice product has been better since they fired Iveson. Because they've been spite skating. I know that's not a real thing. Don't fact check it.
Might be.
But yeah.
I mean, part of the thing is here, I think the real most hopeless team right now is probably Minnesota United, but we couldn't start the podcast with a 10-minute Mark Thaler monologue.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You've been looking at the analytics, you know.
Yeah. That comes in the second half when it's only Wade and our friend Matt that are listening anymore. When we get down to the real diehards, that's when we can throw that in. But you can't start with that.
Okay, so Chicken, do you take issue with this ranking order of the Wild?
I think the only other one would be, oh, I don't know who else it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Hopeless is.
Is Gopher football in the discussion, or since they're amateurs, not?
Oh, that's a good question.
The only one I can think of that is.
I was just ranking pro teams.
Pro teams,
I was just
gotcha.
Ranking pro okay. teams. But.
And I also think it's short-term. Like, long-term hopeless, it's the Timberwolves. I know that you guys are all
100%.
I mean, come on.
If we're talking, what are we talking over, about
here, guys? How on earth could I argue against that?
Guys,
in the fullness of time, the Timberwolves are the most hopeless. No, not right now.
Sure.
Not right this minute, but
December
over
15th.
The rest of our lifetimes.
December
definitely
18th,
the Timberwolves.
They're number one. It's pretty likely they're not going to make it to Sunday without being back.
Best, even odds at best.
We're recording it right now.
That's. I don't take it. No, currently they're.
Okay.
Until they're we find out what the hell's going on with them. With the front office, and there's just so much turmoil, which for whatever reason, I don't know. It just seems odd.
We love you, Matt.
I'm sorry. What, Stu?
I said, we love you, Matt. Just
we do love you, Matt.
People can help Matt. Just let us know.
All right. Next up, John.
All right. I do want to say, if we're including college teams, Gopher football, by far the most hopeless. They have no hope.
They're
hope
fine.
Is over.
Yeah.
Their hope,
the era of hope is gone.
Well, that's so little hope that you kind of have to reframe what hope might even look like in their context.
Yeah, a good year for Gopher football is now finishing in the single-digit numbers in the Big Ten. Like, if they finish ninth, that's a great year for Gopher football.
Would be incredible
best
for
possible
us.
Year.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I hate it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, college football. I hate it. Number two. So, like I said, the second most hopeless team that I had on my list was Minnesota United. And I'll just, you guys can just ignore me for 3 minutes. The reason they're the most hopeless is they fired their coach, who was also their general manager. And the new one, they've hired somebody, but he hasn't actually started yet. He was in England. He was working for a third division team in England. And they hired him, but they weren't going to hire him until he could somehow be done with that job. I will say that in the interim, his team got disqualified from a competition over there because they filed their paperwork wrong and used an ineligible player. So that's a good sign. But they're
sounds
new,
like they need a director of operations.
Yeah, well,
use them.
Wait, John, do they have they're hiring their GM? Is this guy going to be their GM or their coach or both?
Their GM. He's going to be their GM, not their coach. No. They have a CEO.
They have the owner, Bill McIntyre.
Yeah, they have the owner. They have a former Best Buy executive named Sherry Ballard, who's their
CEO. Ballard. Yep.
And she's not really the public face, but she's sort of the who you'd call the president, the Dave St. Peter. Of the Loons organization. And then they have, technically the next person would be the GM. We're going to say GM because I don't want to say chief soccer officer, because that's just a stupid way to refer to anybody.
I agree.
It's like, you know, now nobody's the GM in basketball anymore. They're all the president of basketball operations or something stupid like that. It's just a stupid way. General manager. It's fine. Yep. We've used this term for a thousand years. It's fine.
The head boss.
So anyway, they're hiring this new general manager whose name is Khalid El Amin. It's not, but you might as well just say Khalid El Amin, because everybody who grew up in the 1990s in Minnesota is just going to keep accidentally saying Khalid El Amin. So
love it. Good pull. No, we don't do 2 week notices in this industry. You can't just go.
No, apparently the thing is you do, but for some reason, Minnesota was so respectful of third division English soccer that they just couldn't leave Barnsley FC without a CEO. That would have been wrong.
Karma.
And you just can't do that. And
the,
so
the Barnsley gods, you don't want them Barnsley. Coming at you.
Barnsley. His last day. We should congratulate Khalid El Amin, because today's his last day with Barnsley. I assume they're having cake right now. Maybe, you know, a few room temperature lagers, bitters. There are a few bitters.
Oh yeah.
Being drunk by 9 o'clock at Barnsley.
Yeah.
But you know, and the other thing is, he's not starting until he gets his visa in January. And I just got to say that I like having the holidays off too, but MLS preseason starts like a month from now. And it seems like we're going a little slow with this whole hiring a new GM thing, because the new GM was supposed to hire the new coach, but they've already announced that the interim coach, who was on the previous coach's staff, is going to be the interim coach into next season, whether that means into next preseason or whether that means he's still going to be coaching when the season starts. They just seem to have sort of given up on like the first half of next year. And I don't know why you would do that.
It all does sound very hopeless, John. You're really painting the,
it makes no sense to me.
Mm-mm.
So they're in a pretty hopeless spot right now.
Have they watched Ted Lasso, John?
Because
you can get a coach who will be there on day one.
They're everywhere.
NDSU's football coach has already moved on to take a job at USC, so they can't have him. But I assume that's who they were looking at, which is why they've just announced that the interim guy is continuing to next year, because I've forgotten the name of NDSU's. Craig Bowl, is he still there? No, that can't be right.
Chris Kleiman. Wyoming. Easton Stick.
Easton Stick.
I don't know.
How is there ever a human being named Easton Stick?
It's hard to say, John.
How do these things happen?
It's always good to name your kid a name when you announce it. Everybody bursts out laughing at in your face. Like, they had to have. There's nobody's like,
when cool. People's reaction is to laugh and go, no, seriously, what's like, his name? That
would be funny
right
if you
there.
Did that.
Yeah.
Okay, John. Who else?
Next on the list. Again, not a big topic of conversation on this podcast usually, but the next one on my list was the Minnesota Lynx, just because there's really good teams in the WNBA right now, like super teams, Las Vegas and New York and all these teams. And then Minnesota is not one of these super teams, but they also did the Minnesota Wild thing where they made the playoffs anyway, despite not being all that good.
Damn it, and we hate that here.
So they are not going to get one of the top draft picks next year. You know, Caitlin Clark or Paige Becker or Angel Reese, all these fairly famous women's basketball players at this point. They're not going to get one of these players in the draft next year.
God damn
so
it.
They're just,
why?
They're sort of in the middle. There is,
why didn't they tank for one of these players? Chicken has been on this from the get-go. Yep. We got the three incredible, famous, awesome basketball players.
It was so important that even Chicken was out there publicly promoting a tank job.
Do we have to do everything around here?
I'm just I'm the ideas guy. I can't be the implementation guy, too.
It's just one man.
That's right. There's a visionary and an implementer. You can't have both. You don't want to be both. The visionary is just out here cooking up the ideas. The people who are actually implementing the vision, that's where we've fallen down here for the
Minnesota. Let's take a quick step back. Khalid El Amin, you know where he went to college, John? I'm doing some research on him right now.
University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, yes.
He went to University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Oh, my God.
And
we got him out of the country, which is what we've been trying to do for most of these Wisconsinites, and then we bring him back.
Because you know that great relationship Minnesota has with Wisconsin. It's not like they haven't been trying to destroy sports teams.
Successfully, I will add.
It's worked. The Minnesota Wild have been destroyed for a generation thanks to the actions of people from Wisconsin. So,
Oh, can I do a quick sidebar on Wisconsin subterfuge?
Yes.
Yep.
John, and actually Chickens, the Gopher football team lost their D coordinator to Michigan State, Joe Rossi, correct? Would it be wise for the Gophers to consider hijacking the guy who was the interim coach at Wisconsin, Jim Leonard, as their defensive coordinator, as reverse sabotage? Because he was like supposed to get the Wisconsin job, and they hired the dude from Cincinnati to be their head coach.
And I do like
Jim Leonard is like a he's like a legend in Madison. Like
the vengeance side.
Comes back.
Yeah. I like the Liam Neeson and Taken side. Like the guy that's got the chip, right? He has the skills and the chip.
Yeah. With John Wick on their ass.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's gonna be rough sledding next year, but that might be a way to like make the season interesting. Just to get the axe back next year is probably a really good goal for that team to have.
I like the idea that instead of trying to just set being good to one side in terms of goals for Gopher football and take all of this NIL stuff and the Dinky Town Athletes Collective or whatever, their entire focus, laser focus, should be on tampering with as many athletes from Wisconsin and Iowa as possible. Just try to ruin those programs.
Yes. Reach
through whatever subterfuge they can. Yes. I agree with this, actually.
Yeah. I can't remember if Rocket suggested that to me or if Derek Perrin suggested that to me, but one of you two, I brought it up now so I can comfortably be quiet again. So carry on.
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, that does remind me. I thought of this week when Bill Guerin was in trouble. I thought, I really want to know exactly what he said so I can find out if it's better or worse than the things that Rocket says to me like once a week. Like, I don't know if there's an HR for group text, but if there is, I got to report Rocket.
Okay, links. That's good. Very good.
Yep. All right. Number four, the Twins. The Twins are number four because just last week, the Dodgers signed one player that's going to make more than half the Twins roster is going to make. Two Shohei Ohtanis equals one Minnesota Twins franchise. So their ownership, I hate to be a spend some money, pull ads kind of guy, because whatever. Then the Twins do have some young guys that are worth getting excited about. But at the same time, they had a good year. They finally got off the playoff schneid. They finally got some positive vibes going. And ownership's response to this was not like, you know what? We saved a lot of money when Terry Ryan was the GM and wouldn't pay anybody more than $50 a week. We should take some of that money that we saved and sort of apply it forward to the good vibes that we got going on here. And instead, what happened is, like, it was like the week after they were out of the playoffs. I don't think the World Series had even started when they sent their chief baseball officer out and were like, you know what? We are not going to pay anybody anything. We're going to trade as many guys as we can.
Pockets inside out, showing everybody. Yeah.
Freaking looking for a community chess distribution.
Monopoly ass motherfucker.
Yep. I don't got it.
So
well, and they don't even need to like spend that much.
No, we're not talking about,
they're already
going
to be pretty good no matter what. They got all these really good, as you said, young guys. They just need a couple, like two really good starters, or like one good starter and one good bat or something, because otherwise they can work around the margins for the rest of it.
One of the names that was mentioned was Tyler Glasnow of Tampa Bay, and he's currently a Los Angeles Dodger. They traded him instead because Los Angeles had more to offer. So the whole thing is the Twins are supposed to be trading for those frontline starters, but that path seems to be like narrowing for them. The whole thing is trading like your chips to rebuild that rotation and have a frontline starter for the playoffs. And if those guys are going away, I don't know what the fuck you're going to do, man. I mean, like John said, I mean, they've got a pretty good, they're in a pretty good spot, but their path to making that spot get better is vanishing with a quickness right now.
They definitely, like, right now, Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock, and Louis Varland is their five-man staff.
Yeah,
a lot of question marks already, and that's with perfect health. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those things, again, where you really have to...
That can win the Central, but what are you going to do after that? They ran into that the last two decades.
Everyone seems to have sort of collectively decided, like, all right, Chris Paddock, who wasn't that great, he wasn't a Cy Young winner or anything, and he's coming off of 14 arm surgeries or whatever. And somehow the collective thing has been like, oh yeah, Chris Paddock's their number two starter.
He threw eight good pitches.
I think that carries a lot of weight, John, is that his nickname is the Cowboy.
Oh, wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he like wears a hat or something. I don't know.
I was thinking, yeah, he's a little bit of a goofball. I don't
know. Yeah.
Crazy as a pitcher.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I always think of, I think we had an episode titled Paddock at the Disco after the Twins traded for him. So that's what I always
title
think
we've
of
ever had.
Disco. Like us.
By far.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried. You wouldn't have thought that they would be there. Third place? Is it what we're calling it?
I have concerns.
I have the same. Okay, John. I think, how many teams do we have left? Do we have two left?
Three sort of.
Three sort of?
Hold on.
Okay.
Well, one of them hasn't started playing yet. That's the women's hockey team. But they're a pro team. They actually have...
We'll take your word for it, John.
I did not see that one coming. I was like, oh my God.
What? Since I wrote this, at the time, they didn't have a schedule or any place to play for sure. Now they have a schedule and a place to play. So it's hard to really include them. We can just sort of set them to one side. Next, there's two left. One of them is the Vikings, who I think, if anything, have gotten more hopeless since I was talking about this in November, only because things were great for a second there with Josh Dobbs. Like, after they beat New Orleans, and even the first half of the Denver game, it was like, wow, this is really working out well. And since then, it's like, wow, this is really going poorly. Like very exceptionally poorly, even for Vikings backup quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised you have them here. They seem pretty hopeless to me.
Yeah, well, again, we were just using this list.
They're all
a
hopeless.
Month ago.
Yeah, right.
But they're all some version of hopeless. As Chicken pointed out, overall, the Timberwolves are hopeless. Right now, they're on the bottom of this list. But if you were going to make an overall list and say, all right, I want to stretch the time horizon out for the next 15 years, Timberwolves are number one every time. The Timberwolves are completely hopeless.
15 days. You're not making it to New Year's. You put your hat on, you have a little thing. No, that's the only celebration you're getting. Because by New Year's, it's going to be a disaster.
New Year's Eve is just going to be me and Brandon sitting there with our little party hats on and just the saddest dad bands ever play, like nothing but the National playing in the background. Yep. As we just sit and contemplate how.
Remember those 11 days? Okay, back to the Vikings, or let's stick with the Vikings. Yes, Josh Dobbs turned into a pumpkin faster than at least Josh Freeman had the decency to just suck immediately. So he didn't offer us any false promise. That was bad. It got so bad so quickly, and it's now just over. But my question for you is, Nick Mullins, I believe, is starting. Why isn't the other guy starting?
Jaren Hall?
Jaren Hall. I know he's like
My guess is if they were not in the playoff picture, Jaren Hall would be starting, but they are like this 5 or 6 seed right now. So yeah, they're probably going to try to win. I mean, the positive, and I can't believe John didn't mention this, I think he's trying to undercut Chicken's bro of the year.
Yeah.
They have a defense that is just throwing fucking strikes right now.
Would you call him swarming?
They have a swarming D, a young swarming D.
Hungry.
Please quote me that. Isolate that. Young swarming D.
Isolated.
They're playing lights out right now. I mean, I agree with what they're doing, honestly. It's like he can run the offense. He's not going to do – I mean, he's probably the Bob Lee of this team. But it's fine. Just take advantage of that defense while you've got it. I mean, he's probably not going to be the coordinator next year.
Can you believe we're saying that?
Yeah.
One year after last season.
Ed Donatel, the most checked out DC on planet Earth.
Just amazing. Constantly checking his bank account. I cannot believe that.
Openly reading a tabloid newspaper on the sidelines. Like everybody else has a play card and he has the Weekly World News. Just like, oh.
TikToks.
Taylor licking his thumb, turning the page.
And
the personnel is not that much better.
The personnel is Josh Metellus.
Josh Metellus is incredible.
NFL MVP Josh Metellus.
And you guys mocked and ridiculed my Brian Flores pick. Fucking nothing but ridicule. I listened. I heard it. I heard it.
I don't even know if that's true or not. My memory is so shot.
DeAndre Swift like went for 500 yards in week 2. I was pretty saucy about
Flores.
Salty, saucy.
I like to believe that. If you checked like Chicken's computer, there would be all of these unreleased sportive, like he's got it labeled like sportive 335, where it's just him imitating all of our voices, just mocking and ridiculing him.
Right up here. I got it. Yep.
Okay. So, but I thought Jaren, I didn't see him, but I thought he was good. Like he was fine.
How would you know? He played six plays.
Yeah. I mean, okay, fine.
You got concussed.
I'm always interested more in like what we don't know. Like, I think we definitely do know that Nick Mullins is not good.
No. Well, I mean, I'm certain if the Vikings are eliminated in the next 3 weeks that Jaren Hall will play like the New Year's game against Green Bay and the week 18 against Detroit.
But I suppose what I'm trying to get after is like, do they for sure need a quarterback next year? Pretty much they do no matter what. He's not going to turn. He's 27 years old to begin with. He's not going to be a Dak Prescott fifth round that comes out of nowhere and he's a franchise guy. I think they must be confident enough in that, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Well, so maybe it doesn't really matter.
When they finally put him in, I can't remember whether I saw this in the preseason or when he was played that first quarter or whatever. But just the fact that you put him in an NFL huddle and he needs like he has to bring a step stool out to stand on to call the plays because he's such a little guy, that worries me about the future. Like, you know, he's got to get a piggyback from one of the linemen just so everybody can see him in the huddle.
Yeah, it's not good.
So I don't know how many 5'6" quarterbacks have been successful in the NFL, but
I think just the one.
Doug Flutie got a cereal named after him. That's really about it.
He would be destroyed 4 minutes into his first game nowadays, right?
That's exactly what happened. They put him in the game and he was destroyed.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, fine. I'll stand down my Jaren Hall standing.
I want maybe you guys study the NFL standings more than I do, but I want you to guess how many teams in the NFC are 6-7, one game behind the Vikings. How many 6-7 teams
are
there? There are 5 teams, John.
I'm sorry to say, Stu, that's actually low somehow. There are 6 different there are 6 different 6-7 teams in the NFC right now. The
Holy
Saints,
shit.
The Falcons, the Packers, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers, all 6-7.
I counted that as 6.
That's
incredible.
I mean,
they all kind of suck,
amazing.
But so do we, and I don't know. That
Vikings
defense,
have,
though.
Vikings have tiebreaker over, like, all of them somehow.
Oh, my gosh. So.
And we got the young D.
We got the young swarming D.
Energetic D.
I mean, why the fuck not? I'm choosing to like embrace this season just because it's so weird to begin with. They're playing with house money is what I like to call this type of season, John.
I love that.
Because they're on their 15th goddamn quarterback and they're in the playoff hunt. And the defense can win a game for them. They shut out a team that scored 63 points last night, John.
I do. I want to mention about that Vegas game. One of my good friends decided he was going to go to the game because it's in Vegas, and that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And he went, and it was the worst NFL game of the decade. They won, but it was just depressing. Mm-hmm. He put down a parlay that needed the Timberwolves to finish it off and win him $350, and then they lost to New Orleans, costing him $350. And then the next day he found out he has COVID. So it was maybe the most Minnesota trip ever to Vegas. Lost a bunch of money.
Of the diseases you can acquire in Las Vegas, Nevada, COVID's probably one of the better ones.
I'm positive. Yeah, people have gotten worse things there.
Yeah. Where'd that kidney go? Motherfucker.
Okay, so in order for us to stay in this playoff hunt, we got to beat the Bengals this weekend. Stu, what are your thoughts on the Vikes-Bengals matchup?
I think it's a winnable game. I mean, they're playing another former Vikings backup, the immortal Jake Browning.
Jake Browning was in the Vikings?
Yeah, he was the practice squad guy. He set like every record on earth at UW, and then immediately went into, you know, practice squad mode when he went to the pros. So it's a winnable
He looks
game.
Like he's like fine. Yeah. Did he get like 300 yards passing one game?
Yeah, but he's like playing. I mean, okay, he's playing against Brian Flores now, who like just feasts on these inexperienced quarterbacks.
It is
Aiden O'Connell started to cry in the fourth quarter on Sunday. I just felt bad for him. But I mean, looking forward though, I mean, we've got like Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve games in Minneapolis that are just going to ruin the holidays if they go south. I think everyone needs to prepare for that.
Yes, true.
They could like really make Christmas and New Year's just kind of like weird and sad, more so than they already are. And you need to like prepare yourself for that. Everyone listening.
Yeah, we're talking. There's potential Nate Pool levels of Christmas movies.
Nate Pool alert.
People need to prep themselves for this. It could get sad.
So
and
you
honestly,
want
if the
National Weather Service
either of those games, man. Then that'll be fun. So
it's good to have good like stakes coming up. So you want them to win this one, but that does just set us up for another even more disappointing Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, depending on how they shake out.
Yeah,
I looked at the line. Do you want to guess what it is right now?
Bengals, I think Bengals minus 3.
Yes, it's still at 3. So yeah. That's fine.
Awesome.
Just
every haters every and doubters. Every single NFL game every week is home team minus 3. That's just the line for all NFL games.
That's about right.
Yeah.
If you're betting on Nick Mullins,
boy,
a game started by Nick Mullins or the other way by Joey Browner. What's the name of the guy?
That's right. Nailed
Nick
it.
Browning?
You know, he did karate.
He's the strongest hands in the NFL.
Podcasting is a visual medium.
When I got that massage down at a resort in Mexico, I had to turn around because I thought the lady was Joey Browner. I couldn't tell her how to stop because I don't speak Spanish. That's faster. Yep. I don't know the like. Hey, easy.
Ouch! Ouch! Ouch!
Yeah, ouchy! Ouch. Is ouch American? Is it universal? I don't know. I don't know. But it wasn't Joey.
Los Browner. Ouch.
All right,
LLG. That,
boys, I gotta log off. I apologize.
Oh, you're gonna miss. Make sure you listen to the rest of it because we still haven't gotten to your beloved.
Well, Chicken and the Timberwolves are coming up, and he's done.
What am I getting shit for? Is it
you could
the Brian Flores pick? Because he can't. It's over.
it's a commanding lead. I don't even know where the bros are. So.
All right, boys.
You probably got this one. All right, have a good one, buddy.
Yep, see you later.
All right, so now we are going to get on to the main attraction, right?
Somehow, the least hopeless team.
Deservedly so. They've earned it.
They have earned it.
I'm so happy for you right now.
Our beautiful team. 18-5. A couple weeks ago, I was looking at my show notes in my notes app that I keep for this. It's mostly just old stuff. But I was talking about how stable it felt as being a Timberwolves fan, which is the craziest part of it all. And that's still the thing. It's still the vibe. Last night, I don't know if anybody watched the game. I turned it on a few minutes late, and I turned it on exactly when they were losing 17-2. And I was like, oh my God, You know, and so often with Timberwolves games, I don't know about you, I'll just turn right back off again. Like, I don't give a shit. Yep. Like, if I miss some comeback, it's not going to happen. So, like, why do I even have to watch this team? But I stuck it out and was handsomely rewarded. What a fun game. They absolutely piss-pounded that team after that quick run.
Who keyed the comeback in the first quarter, Brandon? Do you want to talk about his name? Say his name.
God, it depends on what part you're talking about.
Okay, he wears a T-shirt under his jersey, Brandon.
Oh, Naz Reid. Yeah, I mean, he was the guy the whole game. Yeah, you're right. He did hit a couple really quick.
Put some respect on his name, Brandon. Don't deny him his due.
I would never. I've loved Naz Reid since day one.
I'll tell you why Dallas lost. I know for a fact. I read Chris Hines, Star Tribune Gamer, and he said people that were sitting behind press row didn't know Naz Reid. They didn't know Naz Reid's name.
Oh my God.
They were Googling him because they were like, who is this guy that's raining threes down on us? And I just want to say to Dallas and to the rest of the league, you better know Naz Reid's name, because if you don't know Naz Reid, you're about to get Naz Reid Ed.
You've been readed. You've been Nazed. Career game. I think he had a career high or something close to it. 27 points or something like that.
He was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Jaden was getting cooked by Luka. The only reason I paused, because I think they brought in Alexander Walker to help on that, and he actually hit a couple threes as well, which is just feels like a bonus when these guys come in and do some work. Ant Edwards was about, that was probably the worst offensively I've ever seen him at least shoot the ball. He was 3 for 19, and of his 16 misses, I feel like 11 of them were just him going 1 on 5 and like, fuck it. Let's see if this one works, and just over and over and over. But
you saw what his plus minus was though, right?
Plus 20. Yeah. Which it's insane.
He went 3 for 19 at plus 20.
The thing that I think about all the time, and I don't know why this guy just continues to live in my head, and I think he will for the rest of my life. I still come back to Andrew Wiggins in times like this because of how much I hated him. And if he wasn't scoring, he was the worst, most useless player on the court if he was not scoring efficiently, right? If he was not like 8 for 12 shooting, he sucked because he would have 2 rebounds and 1 assist a game. So last night, a big reason that Edwards was, well, big reason, part of it was because he decided to be on the floor when Naz Reid was on the floor, which is a very smart strategy in a game like that. But he also had like, I think, 10 assists or 11 assists because he still knows how to make things happen even if he's not shooting. So it was, again, for the millionth reason, when one of these two guys that I think are number one picks, one of them can't shoot and is awful, and one of them can shoot and still finds a way to be effective. So I really love that part of it, and he never gets down. And so even on a night like that when he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, he was still like effective and fun to watch. And he locked some guys down defensively too. So God, he was good. Towns was really good. Gobert didn't do a whole lot offensively, but it's very funny if you are a casual fan to watch a Wolves game and watch specifically when guys drive to shoot a layup and they see Rudy Gobert just coming toward them. Just look at what happens to them. They short circuit and somehow whip like cross court passes that get picked off half the time. They are so terrified of getting blocked. I don't really understand why that's such a, I mean, it sucks to get blocked. I played basketball this morning, got blocked like 3 times. It still stings. But man, they really do, like something happens in their brain where they just cannot allow it to happen. That's a fun extra little thing to watch with this team in addition to all the other fun things to watch. So 18-5. Not like I'm thinking about stuff like this, but if you were to pull out your calculator and do the math, if they went 500 the rest of the way, they'd be a 48-win team.
Which for them is amazing.
Which would be unbelievable. 48 wins would be absolutely incredible. And they do have a very hard schedule coming up. They've had it very easy to begin with. Even their hard games have been missing guys. So like totally, yes, they're not going to be whatever percentage 18-5 is. It's not going to be anywhere near there at the end of the season. All good. Totally get it. But incredible first quarter of the season. I have so much hope, John.
I do think it's very funny. They have 3 7-foot guys, and two of them will rain threes down upon you the entire night. And the other one, I feel fairly confident in saying that if Rudy stood at one elbow of the free throw lane and you, Brandon, stood at the other one and you guys had a shooting contest, I would be more than happy to put my money on you instead of Rudy. It's just hilarious to me that these three guys are so physically similar and yet totally dissimilar in the way that they play basketball.
That's so true. Yeah. Yep. They're quirky. They have, I think they're adorable. I don't know the exact number. I guess if anybody wants to go look it up, they can. But I do know, I believe it's 14 games in a row coming up against teams that are over 500, something like that. And so they've got it's going to be a little bit of a haul, but it's fine.
Like you said, go 500.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yep. Get through that slog and then just keep
stay healthy,
the
go
bad teams.
Be fine.
Man, and it's a perfect season for them to be really good, because it is a wide open season for the most part. I mean, obviously, yeah. Denver is incredible and Boston is incredible, but beyond that,
every other team.
And I hope you know that the Wolves beat both of those teams.
We got both their numbers.
Mm-hmm. Every other team in the league is the same beyond those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, and San Antonio is terrible and Detroit is terrible. So yep. There's two good teams, two awful teams, and then there's a whole bunch of 6 and 7 teams. It's like the NFL.
Yeah.
7 and 6, 6 and 7.
Yeah, there is,
and then
really
some of,
well,
the Timberwolves, 18 and 5.
Detroit, Washington, and San Antonio.
Oh yeah, Washington.
Yeah, collectively are winning about 10% of their games, and it's not going to get easier anytime soon. I mean, they are all within like the range of like going something like 12 and 70, all three of them. And for those fans,
I did not expect this from the Spurs. I thought Wembanyama would be a little bit
like Wembanyama 2.0 coming out next year. So it's like an upgrade. They can get both of them, maybe.
Yeah, no, next year there's the draft is actually not supposed to be very good at all. So that's the worst part. And we've been there as well.
The Wolves
fans
don't have any picks. It's great.
Yeah, finally. Usually it was like, oh my God, we're bad in a year and we get Derek Williams. Cool. So it's going to be one of those seasons, which is great. I think we actually do have our pick this year and then we give it up again next year.
Can we trade it to Utah for something else?
So I think the rule is you can't trade picks in back-to-back years. So right. I think we went 23, 25, and 27.
And 29. Don't forget about 29.
And then a protected 29. Yeah, so four top five, which, again, like, not that big of a deal. So far we've given them Keontae George and Walker Kessler and all the guys that they cut.
And all the other guys.
Yeah. That are now like sort of around.
And we also have to, I was thinking about this today. I think I was listening to Mike Rand's podcast. He and Chris Hine were talking about how good Mike Conley has been, which, mm-hmm. you know, is absolutely right. And just remembering that the Wolves, a Timberwolves front office, doesn't matter who is in charge of it, but the Timberwolves front office turned D'Angelo Russell, a guy who was clearly a terrible fit, into not only a guy who is a perfect fit, but also Nickeil Alexander-Walker and like 13 second round picks.
It's unbelievable. You probably could get D'Lo back for just Nickeil Alexander-Walker right now if you felt like it. I'm sure the Lakers would be like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that.
Yeah, like that
even
guy's actually.
LeBron kills him with his bare hands in center court.
Yeah, the value will go down there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. John, that's a great list. Phenomenal list. I'm so happy to have done it.
Thank you for asking me a question that I could pass off old work as current work.
Yeah. Well, I asked it because I assumed the Timberwolves would be number one, which is kind of just the way I wanted
that's all you wanted to do. Timberwolves are.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Seeing a list, do we have a top six from Stu this week?
You know, we do.
Oh, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do this.
I looked it up and I did a little research. I've just came across the Jerry Burns, Bob Schnelker clip again recently. And I figured I would look up the game, November 5th, 1989, Vikings 23, Rams 21 in overtime. And I figured I would look up the top six Minnesota Vikings players from that game whose names make you smile.
Okay.
Can I, are you going to give a recap of how those 23 points were scored?
Field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal. Safety on a blocked kick by Mike Merriweather.
In overtime. In overtime. He blocked a punt and it rolled out the back of the end zone. And that was how the game ended.
I'll never, ever. I mean, I love watching the Vikings. Very fun. If you ask me, like, how many games have they played this year? I'll be 13, right? I can't even name the opponents. I can name a few of the opponents this year, but I still remember the 7 field goal safety at the, in overtime Mike Merriweather game. It's just, it's unforgettable. Okay, yes. Stu, I'm so ready for this.
Yeah, no, that's good. And like, we had an honorable mention. Obviously, Mike Merriweather is on the honorable mention list.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to also shout out the 3 Rams receivers from that day. Henry Ellard, Flipper Anderson, Flipper. And Buford McGee. Buford McGee, who really got into a real bucket of soup with those Duke boys. So those are the those are on the outside looking in here. So number 6, the kicker of all 7 field goals, barefoot Rich Carlos.
Rich Carlos.
Oh,
that's
God.
Right.
One of the last ones.
Brandon, you might be the correct age. Were you, when you were a kid, did you take off your shoe and try to kick field goals barefooted because of Rich Carlos?
I think every one of us did it the one time.
Yep.
Exactly. And then we went,
huh? Don't do it.
We all did it exactly one time and went, why would you do this? This is the dumbest possible thing to do.
In snow. I mean, it just was. Yeah, it's just a dumb. Yeah.
So dumb. Oh, goodness. I'm number 5. Al Noga.
Al Noga. Oh,
yeah.
What a player Al Noga was.
Number 99.
The most underrated of the famous Purple People Eaters defensive front. No. I'm not talking about Alan Page and Carl Eller. I'm talking about Chris Dolman, Keith Millard,
Henry Thomas,
and Al Noga.
Yeah.
Oh, what a line. Oh, goodness. And again, these are just, that was just 6 and 5.
That was 6 and 5.
We have 4 more to go here, gentlemen. Speaking of number 4, Rick Fenny.
Rick Fenny.
Oh, the smiles when I said Rick Fenny. Oh, listeners, you wouldn't believe the smiles.
I'm glowing.
Oh,
can I tell you guys a quick story? I think I've told this story on the podcast, but I want to tell it again. If you want to know where I came from as a person, and also understand, this is maybe for any younger listeners we might have, understand what things were like before the internet, before you could just pop off an email to the Vikings beat writer or whatever to try to find out this information. My dad once, I remember this very distinctly, my dad called in to like a Vikings post game show or something like that back when Bob Lertzema was hosting it because he wanted to find out what had happened to Rick Fenny. There was no other way to come by this information but to call the post game show and see if he could get on the air and be like, hey, what happened to Rick Fenny anyway?
He was the original Let's Remember Some Guys. Your dad.
He was remembering some guys. He was remembering Rick Fenny.
Rick Fenny, who ended up in jail, if I remember
public
forum. Securities fraud. Yeah.
So, that sounds right. Yeah. And who, I always get him mixed up. Was it Jeff Reardon, was he also in some? That was a Twins guy,
he was in some legal trouble.
He robbed a jewelry store.
Robbed something. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
For some reason, I conflated the crimes of those two.
We'll just say allegedly.
Allegedly. Everything here is allegedly.
Everything we say on this podcast has an implied allegedly.
Go to Wikipedia and confirm for yourself.
Number 3, Najee Mustafa.
Whoa.
Holding down cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Previously known as what?
Reggie Rutland, right?
That's correct.
Jeez, yeah. What a pull.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, ran back a interception in the great Anthony Carter 49ers playoff game, if I remember right. Yeah. Number 2, Kirk Loudermilk.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's you could so good. Spend the rest of your life trying to think of the ideal offensive lineman name and never get anything better than Kirk Loudermilk.
Yeah.
That's just he's on your line. You just start there. Of course he went to Ohio State. Why wouldn't he have?
Kind of had to.
Yeah. Number 1, your punter, Bucky Scribner.
Bucky Scribner.
You don't get a lot of Bucky Scribners anymore in this world. I blame Biden for that. I mean,
and if I remember right, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Stu, but if I remember right, the one trait other than Bucky Scribner's longevity as the Vikings punter, the one thing that we all knew about him was that he was not very good at punting.
No, he was very bad at it.
He was a Vikings punter
not as strong
for my whole childhood.
Yeah.
Like between
28-yard net.
Between Les Steckel and when Mitch Berger arrived in the late 1990s, Bucky Scribner had a 15-year NFL career punting for the Minnesota Vikings.
Like literally, like, and he punted indoors for half the games and he was still just couldn't do it. Just, you know, sorry guys.
Once a game, there'd be a 6-yard punt somehow. And everyone was just like, ah, Bucky.
I don't know.
Can we get a different punter?
Nah. Is it windy? Nah. We don't know. Might be.
We got him signed. He's you know, he's low maintenance. Shows up for work on time.
Yep.
He's Bucky. So anyway, those are your top six Minnesota Vikings from the November 5th, 1989 defeat of the Los Angeles Rams, whose names make you smile.
Man, they keep getting better, these top sixes.
I tell you.
So good.
They really do. I'm putting in the work, guys.
You really are. You can't deny that. With a pull like Bucky Scribner.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the people pay us the big bucks for a podcast like this.
That's right.
Thanks
for rolling in that podcast money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it for content, I believe. I think the rest of us have to get on with our lives. But fun as always, everybody.
Go out. Let's get some beers.
Let's do it. All right. Stopping recording now. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.